Well, it wasn't that long ago, actually, and I can't believe I can give you a specific date, but I can give you a specific date. On March 18th, 2016, we were given a letter through the mail, and when we opened it up, we had no idea what awaited us. But it was a message from Operation Christmas Child. And as many of you know, this is something that's very near and dear to our hearts. We've been participating with Operation Christmas Child for many years now, and we get indoctrinated with it just about every week because Melinda Snow is in charge of this. She really just coordinates everything here and makes sure that this system and this program runs to perfection, and we're grateful for that. So when this letter came, and it was a letter that indicated that there is an individual in our community that kind of helps spearhead this campaign and has a powerful, powerful outreach within her own ministry through this great organization. So we knew that we had to respond and respond quickly. With that being said, if you don't know what Operation Christmas Child is, you're going to find out real soon. But I can tell you this. Last year, the Covell Community Church sent out more shoeboxes than we've ever sent out. We believe the number was 201, if I'm correct. I think we're really close there, which was a record for us. We knew that we were going to impact a lot of children with these shoeboxes. Internally, within the walls of our own church, we get excited about this, and we're encouraged by this. But rarely do we get the chance to hear more about this. So we today have the opportunity to hear about Operation Christmas Child and go just a little bit deeper into this program that we so lovingly support. And with that being said, today is part of Mission Sunday, a day in which we send all of you out into the world and all of us out into the world to preach and reach God's people. Today we're reminded that we all have a task and a role and a responsibility in this. So on this Mission Sunday, it is my joy and honor to introduce someone that probably needs no introduction because she is one that does a great job in our community. She attends a church that we're familiar with, in fact, we're friends with, Cross Point Church of God, and Kevin Summers is the pastor there, and I've known Kevin for some time, and if you say, who is that and where are they at, they're out on the northeast side of town. Kevin Summers and I were the two pastors on call during Jonathan Thompson's ordeal that he was dealing with his surgery. So Kevin and I got to know each other very well, and it was a real pleasure. We have someone today coming from that church but representing an organization that we all believe in and stand behind. Please welcome to the front of the church, Church Relations Team Member, East Central Illinois Area Team for Operation Christmas Child, Pam Wilson.
Good morning. So I am so thankful to be here this morning and get to talk about one of my favorite things, Operation Christmas Child. And before I go any further, I want to thank Melinda for what she does as the project coordinator for the church. What you're going to hear me talk a little bit about today is how much OCC is a church-to-church ministry, meaning there's churches in this side of the ministry that are packing the boxes, and we're partnering with churches on the other side who are delivering the boxes. So we couldn't do it without folks like Melinda. I want to thank your missions team, too, for inviting me here this morning. Like I said, I never pass up an opportunity to talk about Operation Christmas Child. And I just want to thank everybody in the church as a whole just for your support of the ministry. Again, without folks packing shoeboxes, we wouldn't have anything to do in Operation Christmas Child. So we appreciate everybody that participates that way as well. So as Pastor Chad said, I am a member of what they call the East Central Illinois Area Team for Operation Christmas Child. It's quite a mouthful. But basically what that means is there's a group of volunteers in this part of the state that help coordinate the ministry and help collect the boxes when we get to November during our annual collection week. So we work with folks like Melinda who bring the boxes to us. Cross Point Church of God is actually the drop-off for this part of the state. So we get to see a lot of folks coming in and year out, bringing us those boxes. And we're always excited to see those cars and trucks and vans and whatever else folks are using to get them to us pull up in front of the church. So again, just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. What I would like to start with is a verse out of the book of Colossians. And a couple of years ago, back in 2012, I had an opportunity to actually go on an OCC distribution. So I got to actually be one of the folks that got to place shoeboxes in the hands of the actual children receiving those. And you're going to hear me talk more about that. But just prior to that trip, I came across a verse in my quiet time from Colossians that I thought was just a perfect representation of what this ministry is all about. And it's verse 6, and it says, "All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth." At its core, OCC is about us as believers extending the love of Christ to children across the world and giving them an opportunity to hear the gospel message and accept Christ as their Savior. So I thought that verse was just a great place to start this morning as I talk about just the impact that those boxes that you pack have on kids around around the world. So how many of you, just by show of hands, have packed a box, prayed for a box, shopped for a box, maybe come here and helped put boxes together? We got any folks out there? Yep, so I see some hands going up, so that's awesome. So today, hopefully, I'll be able to convey to you the impact of the work that you've been doing and what that has on children when they receive those boxes. So there are five things that I specifically want to share with you this morning. The first one is just a little bit about what this ministry is all about. So what is Operation Christmas Child? If you haven't been involved, or maybe you have been but really don't know a lot of its history. So first I want to share a quote from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham is son of Billy Graham, head of Samaritan's Purse, and in charge of Operation Christmas Child, basically. Actually, God's in charge, but you know what I mean. He's the coordinator. So he recently said, "I want every child to know there is a God who loves them. I want every child in this world to know his son, Jesus Christ." That is what Operation Christmas Child is all about. So I think that conveys very well what this ministry really is attempting to achieve and why we pack these fun boxes every year to send to children. Now, that's where he is now. I want to share a little bit about how this ministry got started because it's kind of a funny story, and Franklin likes to tell the story, and he'll joke about it as well. But Franklin got a call in 1993 from a gentleman in the United Kingdom saying, "Hey, I'm going to do some missions over in Bosnia. There had been a war going on in Bosnia. Would you be interested in partnering with me in packing some gifts for children so that we can bring them over there and bless these children that have been going through such a difficult time?" Well, Franklin and Samaritan's Purse had been involved in Bosnia. They'd already been doing a lot of work there, but he felt like he really couldn't say no. It sounded like a good idea. It's a great cause. Yeah, I want to bless children, so sure, I'll partner with you in this ministry. And that was in July of that year. Now, Franklin promptly hung up the phone and then totally forgot about the commitment he had just made. Just totally slipped his mind. He got busy, just was like, okay, you know, I'll think about that later, and just never came back to it. Well, a little bit later, Franklin's office gets a call, and it's this man again calling from the United Kingdom saying, "Hey, just want to check in and see how many boxes are you going to have and when will you be sending them?" He's like, "I'll get back to you on that." Quickly calls two friends of his, one is a pastor in the United States, one is a pastor in Canada, and says, "Okay, here's the deal, I need your help. I made this commitment, we're supposed to be packing some boxes. Could you just talk to your congregations about just getting shoe boxes and filling them with things that would be good for kids to have? Maybe some soap, some school supplies, maybe some toys. Pack them up, and then I'll get them from you, and we'll get them over to Bosnia." So these two pastors say, "Sure, no problem. We'll share it with our congregations this weekend." So they do. Franklin gets a call a little bit later from one of them saying, "When are you going to come get these boxes? We're running out of room." And he's like, "You're running out of room? How many have you packed?" And they're like, 11,000. 2 weeks, this church had packed 11,000. Apparently what had happened, too, they had connected, somebody in the congregation connected with a local radio station, they got the word out, and people were just packing boxes like crazy. The other church did just about as well. In 2 weeks, these two churches in 1993 packed 28,000 boxes for children in Bosnia. So they got them, long story short, they got them all packed up, got them sent over to Bosnia. Huge blessing to the children. And now Franklin's saying, okay, I think there's something to this. I think there's a way we can use this to reach kids for Christ. So basically then he decided, okay, we're going to go have, put some structure around this and create a ministry out of this. Which leads me to my second point. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about its background and what it's about. But I also wanted to tell you about how when you're a part of OCC, you're part of something huge. So in 1993, I mentioned they packed 28,000 shoeboxes. Last year, so you fast forward, what's that, 22 years, you fast forward, 11.2 million shoeboxes were collected last year alone. So you can see how much that has grown over time. So from 28,000 to 11.2 million. In that total span of time, pardon me, between 93 and 2015, they have collected over 135 million shoebox gifts for children that have gone to 130 different countries. Not 130 same countries every year, but through that span, boxes have touched 130 different countries. So that's pretty impressive. And it's, again, it's totally a church-to-church type ministry. Community groups get involved, schools get involved, that sort of thing. But at its heart, that's really what this ministry is. It's volunteers here packing boxes, getting them to volunteers on the other side who are delivering the boxes. So it's pretty neat. So within that, when you think about something huge, the numbers are part of that, but the coordination is a part of that too. And I share this because it really helps paint the picture of just how God is all over this ministry. It could not happen if we tried to do this on our own. It really is God blessing this ministry and using this ministry to make great things happen. So here's what happened. You pack a box, let's say here in Covell Community Church. How does it get to the child? So basically what happens is those get collected. In November, they're brought to Cross Point Church of God over in Bloomington. We actually have grown enough now as a drop-off center that we get our own truck now every year. So if you were to drive past Cross Point that week in November, you'll see a tractor trailer parked in the back of our property. As we're getting those boxes in that week, we're putting them into shipping cartons and we're getting them on that truck. The trucking company comes and picks those up at the end of collection week, and then they go off to one of 9 different processing centers around the United States. There's quite a few on the East Coast, there's a few on the West Coast, there's some in the Midwest, and then there's actually one in Honolulu, Hawaii as well. So what happens is when those boxes get to the processing center, every shoebox is opened because we got to do that for a couple reasons. One is we need to pull out the donation money. So some people now donate online, which is awesome, because if you donate online to cover the shipping, you actually will get an email back that tells you what country your box was sent to. So that's kind of a neat thing. If you can do the donation and you can do it online, you'll get that information back. But some people still like to go the traditional route, which is they'll put a check or cash into an envelope and place it in the shoebox. So you got to make sure all that's taken out. The other thing that needs to happen is we need to prepare the boxes for customs. So countries have their own rules about what can and can't come in that volume to their country. So Operation Christmas Child needs to explain what's in the boxes, what they're for, and then get them prepared for customs. So that's part of what's going on in the processing center as well. They'll also look for inappropriate items. That's part of the customs preparation. So there's a list, Melinda would have it, of all the things you can't put in a box. You need to make sure none of those are in there, those types of things. But once the processing center is done, then they repack them back in those shipping cartons, and they reuse those. Same ones we packed here are going to get repacked in a processing center because that helps save on cost. And then they will be basically sent on their way, on their journey to get to the child in whatever country they're going. Each processing center packs boxes for specific countries. So I've actually volunteered at a couple of the different processing centers. I've been in Charlotte probably the most frequently. So you'll go in on a day, let's say it's a Monday, they'll say, okay, today everybody, all our volunteers, we're packing for these 3 countries. So you know anything that goes in a carton that day is going to be heading to that destination. Then they basically will be sent out and they'll get there from leaving this country by boat, by plane. They may actually be shipped, that's unusual, but sometimes they have to ship them by mail, so we'll do it that way. But they'll basically be sent on their way. When they get to the country that they're going to, on the other side of the ministry, like I mentioned, there are churches and volunteers, pastors, schools, orphanages, wherever we can make those connections, that are waiting for the shoeboxes to arrive. They wait for them to clear customs, and then they coordinate them getting to their distribution sites. In some cases, that's a fairly easy thing. You're just going to drive them over there and get them to a church, and there they are. But more often than not, these boxes are going to very remote locations. So you might be talking camel, donkey, canoe, whatever it's going to take to get these boxes out to these remote locations. So think about all the coordination that has to happen to get those boxes from point A to point B. And again, just evidence that God's got his hand in this every step of the way. So pretty evident there. So we've talked about what it is. We've talked about it being a huge ministry and everything that it takes to get this pulled together every year. But one other thing before I talk about the distributions to the kids is just the current need that exists to reach these kids. So we talked about how we've got, 135 million shoebox gifts we've collected over 22 years. That sounds like a lot. But what we also need to understand is that currently there's 1.8 billion children under the age of 15 worldwide. So there's still a huge need to meet. And again, kids are arriving every day. You know, we've got new kids that we need to reach with the gospel. And one of the other stats that I've heard to go along with that, and I've seen different numbers, but this is typically they're all in the same ballpark, that 85% of those who do accept Christ as their Savior do so before the age of 15. So it's so critical that we're creating these opportunities to share the gospel with children. They say when kids actually reach age 18, if they haven't made that decision, the likelihood that they will drop significantly, particularly in some of these third world countries where we're trying to get these boxes into. So we need to keep packing boxes. That's probably a key message I want to make sure I share today. We got to keep Melinda busy, right? She needs some work to do, so we got to keep her busy packing boxes. So let me talk now about the power of these shoebox gifts. So I mentioned that in 2012 I had an opportunity to go to Uganda. I was part of a distribution trip there. We were there for about a week. During that, we got to do several shoebox distributions. We also got to participate in a Samaritan's Purse project while we were there as well, that was going on in that country. But it is so hard to convey, but I feel like I need to do the best I can, of the impact of placing that shoebox in that child's hands, to see the reaction, to be able to sit with them, share the gospel with them, and just see what that does for them, just even in that moment. Typically, what we would do on a distribution is we would get to the site. More often than not, the kids will have a program prepared for us, so the pastor would have worked with them or their Sunday school teacher for them to do something. They might sing to us. Some of them would dance for us because that's a big part of the Ugandan culture. In one case, they had two of the older kids come forward. They had been practicing learning the books of the Bible, so they recited those to us, and you know, they were just so proud that they had been able to do that. I will say one thing we saw consistently while we were there is just how hungry these kids were to hear the Word of God. I mean, they don't have Bibles. You know, think of how the access we have to Bibles here, they don't have that access. We met with one, our last group was actually in a slum area in the capital city of Uganda, really rough conditions. But there were some older boys there, and a lot of us had brought Bibles with us that we were able to leave behind. And just the tears that came from these older boys when they were given a Bible, now they had their own Bible. I mean, it was just amazing. And just, again, another extension of what this ministry is able to do. But once we would get through their program, then we would give a program. So they would go first, then we would go. We would share the gospel message. One thing, if you haven't seen it before, every shoebox, when it's handed to the child, gets one of these. It's called The Greatest Gift of All, and it's a booklet of Bible stories, and it basically shares the gospel message for them. Very colorful. The kids really love these. They just love getting this as part of their shoebox gift. But again, it's an opportunity to share the Word of God with them. So we attach that to the box, and then they bring the kids up in groups. So if you think about the labels we do for the shoeboxes, there's boy or girl, and then there's different age groups. That's how the boxes are handed out. They make the poor little ones go first, so they have to sit there the longest without being able to open their box. So you'd always kind of look at them like, man, they're about to burst if we don't get to it. But they would all get their boxes, not allowed to open them until we give them the word. And then once everybody has them, we do the 1, 2, 3 countdown. And you may have seen that in some videos that Samaritan's Purse does. And then the kids just go wild. I mean, they're just so excited. As volunteers, we get to go out and sit with them and go through their boxes with them and explain, you know, hey, somebody in wherever the box came from packed this for you. You know, they wanted you to be blessed. It's really from God. It's been packed specifically for you, and here's what's in it. They would get some things you have to explain sometimes. I was sharing in the earlier service that I'm not very good at yo-yos, and most of my kids seem to get yo-yos, so I'd have to explain to them what to do with one of those, which was kind of a scary sight, but we got through it. But it was just a fun time of being able to love on them and spend some time with them. One of the interesting observations we had is that most of these kids have never received a gift before. So they didn't really understand the concept. There were some, when you would try to give them the box, they would kind of like not know what to do, like, why are you giving this to me? But even we would find at the end of the distribution, when we were getting ready to pack up and leave to go on to our next site, they would want to pack up the box and give it back to us. They just totally didn't understand that this was now theirs to keep. One of the orphanages we attended and we did a distribution with, we actually had extra time with afterwards, and they wanted to show us where they slept and all of that, so we went back to their room. And immediately, you'd see the kids in there just playing with their stuff and showing each other what they got and that sort of thing. I mean, it was just a huge blessing to them, and really a big deal. A couple of specific stories I'll share from our trip. There was one little boy, when he opened his box, the first thing he saw was a bar of soap. Now, Christmas morning here in this country, if you were going to give kids a bar of soap, probably wouldn't get a very excited reaction, right? Because that's just not what we think of here when we think of Christmas and our kids are opening gifts. But that was the first thing he grabbed, and he threw his arm up in the air and said, now I can bathe, now I can bathe, because he'd gotten his own washcloth and his own bar of soap. And it just shows you just what a big deal this is to these kids to get things they just don't have access to. Another big thing that you'll see is the school supplies. So it's very important, if you can, to include school supplies in the boxes, because what we think of is no big deal. I think, Melinda, you said July you're going to be collecting the school supplies here. Great time for us to do it, because they're all on sale. But a little box of crayons that we can get at that time of year for about a quarter. In other countries, I know they said in Uganda, those were upwards of $5 a box. And these folks are living on $1 to $2 a day. So trying to buy a $5 box of crayons is just totally outside their reach. But they need them for school. So to be able to get them in the shoe boxes is just a huge blessing to these kids. We've heard several stories of countries that won't allow the kids to go to school if they don't have the basic supplies, being pencils and crayons and those types of things. And kids that have been enabled now to go to school because they've gotten them in their shoebox gift. So again, things that we take for granted, not a big deal, are a huge blessing to these kids and really open doors for them beyond what we can even imagine. Another story that we had is a little girl, she was an older girl, she was sitting with her volunteer, and when she flipped open her box, what the volunteer saw sitting on top was a small pair of shoes. Obviously way too small for this girl. So the volunteer was like, oh, she got one of those boxes she's not going to be able to use. You know, and so she started to almost fumble and apologize to the girl, and the girl started waving her off saying, no, you don't understand. I have a sibling. These are for them. These shoes, they need shoes. These are for them. And the girl was all excited about it, and the volunteer was like, you know, man, it was one of those moments when you realize that God's got this. You know, we just need to get out of the way and do what he's calling us to do, and he'll work out the rest. He'll work out the details. So he'd gotten his perfect box to this child so that she could give those shoes to her little brother that needed them. So again, lots of neat stories like that you'll hear as part of Operation Christmas Child, but again, just evidence that God's got this. The other thing I want to share is just, there's a tagline that Operation Christmas Child adopted last year that I think is absolutely perfect when you think about the impact of these shoeboxes. And it was, what goes in the box is fun, but what comes out is eternal. So fun for us, right? Because if you're like me, I love to find those little bargains throughout the year of things I can put in a shoebox. I see you guys are collecting stuffed animals this week. Stuffed animals are a perfect thing to put in a shoebox, and it's one item that they try to make sure every box has. Because these kids are, you know, they're dealing with, sometimes it's health issues because they go to a lot of hospitals. Sometimes they're war-torn countries, natural disasters, or they're just living in extreme poverty. And to have something soft and fuzzy that they can hang on to, and we saw it, that you'd see the kids towards the end of our time with them just hanging on to these little sheep and these little bears and whatever it was that they got, just are huge for them because it's just a source of comfort and, again, feeling loved for them. So doing that is perfect. But once the kids actually get to complete the shoebox distribution, then they're actually invited to attend a 12-week discipleship program. And I've got copies of it if anybody were interested in seeing it after the service. But it's called The Greatest Journey. It's a great program. It teaches them more about God, about God's word. It actually also teaches them to be a little evangelists. It teaches them how to share their faith, which again is an extension of the impact of the ministry. One of the things I always love to share is that when you think about the number of boxes this church packed last year, you can multiply that by at least 8, because what they found is that the impact of one box not only impacts that child, but typically 8 more people. It might be siblings, it might be parents, might be neighbors, just other kids in the community. But it's not going to just impact that one child. It's going to have a more far-reaching impact than that. And The Greatest Journey is part of that. So the kids get to come and attend a 12-session program, like I mentioned. When they complete it, then they actually are invited to participate in a graduation, and if they can, they do it all up. They will do caps and gowns with these kids, do a big ceremony. They invite their parents and relatives and, you know, whoever can come. And it's just a great time to celebrate the kids having accepted Christ, come to faith, learned about God's word. And at the end of that, they actually give them a New Testament Bible in their own language, which is pretty neat as well. So that's theirs to keep. And I'd already mentioned just what a big deal that is for these kids. So with all of that, again, just seeing the power of God's hand in this ministry, what I wanted to share, too, is just a couple of additional stories about just what we call the God moments, God getting the perfect box to the perfect child. So a couple things I'll share. There's a story, and Linda, I don't know if you've heard this story. I know we were talking about a couple of them, but we always affectionately call it the twin story. So there was a distribution a couple of years ago, and as they were getting down towards the end of giving out the boxes, they realized they were going to be one box short. And that does happen. There are distributions where they run out of boxes because word gets out and all of a sudden you got all these kids there. But they get down towards the end, one box short, and so they realized that there were two sisters, they were twins, that were there. So they went and approached the mother and said, hey, you know, we really apologize, but we're one box short. We had more kids than we expected. Would it be okay if your two girls shared a box? And the mother, of course, is like, well, of course, not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's, you know, it's a huge blessing. They can share it. So they had the one box left, and it was a larger box. So they were, you know, sometimes you get big boxes. So they had pulled this one out to give these two little girls. And wouldn't you know it, just like God, they opened the box. That box had two of every item in it. So think about it, the person that was probably packing that going, I don't know why I'm putting two of everything in this box, but something's telling me to put two of everything, so that's what I'm going to do. And so these little girls ended up having not just a box to share, but enough for both of them to have the exact same items. And again, only God could do something like that. Because go back to what I shared about how a box gets from point A to point B. Think of all the steps that box had to go through and then to end up in that situation for those two little girls specifically. So that's pretty cool what God can do with those. Another story I heard is a little boy that had lost his parents, and they were at a distribution, and he was very shy. So a couple of the volunteers and the staff were really trying to connect with this kid, and he really didn't want to engage in the first part of it. He was kind of standing off on the side. Just a sad little boy, they said, you know, again, had lost his parents and was dealing with a lot. And he wanted to be able to go to church with his grandmother, which was certainly going to happen, and it wasn't a big deal, but he felt like that he needed a better shirt to go to church with his grandmother. And so the only thing, he told the volunteers, if I get a box, the only thing I want to have in my box is a nice button-down shirt that I can wear to church. And the volunteers are like, great. I mean, how often do you see a button-down shirt in a box, right? You see t-shirts, you might see some flip-flops, maybe some shoes, but a button-down shirt. So they handed out the boxes, they brought this little boy his box, and they'd kind of lost track of him for a little bit. And all of a sudden, the staff person said they were standing there, and they kind of had their hand down next to him, and they felt this little hand tugging on him. And they looked down, and here's this little boy, and guess what he's wearing? A button-down shirt that he had gotten in a shoebox gift. So again, what are the odds statistically? And again, these are stories that get validated by staff and by pastors and that sort of thing. They sound somewhat impossible, but these are ones that have actually happened and can show the power of this ministry. One other thing, too, I didn't mention when I talked about the power of the shoeboxes. We always talk about the power of the box to the kids, because that's the obvious one, right? You think about this kid getting so excited and being blessed to feel loved and to experience the gospel message. One of the things I saw in Uganda, though, is, so again, thinking about the impact you guys as a church are having as you pack these boxes, is the impact of this ministry on the pastors and the churches on the other side. The first place we went to, the first distribution for us, was actually to see The Greatest Journey being done. And they kind of warned us ahead of time. They said, okay, this guy's name is Pastor Biliok. Okay, that's his name. But be a little forewarned that when you get to this church, you're going to know who he is, and he might scare you a little bit. We're like, okay. And they're telling us this as our bus is pulling up in front of the church. So we pull up. All of a sudden, this guy comes running out of this school. It was attached to a church, but he comes running out of the school where the kids were, comes running onto the bus and starts hugging and shaking hands and was just so excited. He kept saying, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you're here. And we're like, okay, now we get it. It's like, okay, this is Pastor Biliok. But he told us, he said, what you have to understand is, think about if you were a pastor, you were called into ministry, and you know for sure that's your calling, but you've got nothing. You've got no church building. You've got no equipment, you've got no screens where you can show your lyrics, you have no music, you have no hymnals, you have no instruments, you have no curriculum, you have no Bibles. It's basically you and God's calling. He said, think about being in that position and then having a ministry like Samaritan's Purse come in and say, we're going to give you Bibles, we're going to give you a curriculum. And by the way, as we do all this to reach the kids in your community, we're going to come and have a party to kick this off with you. We're going to do a shoebox distribution with you. He said, you have no idea the power that has for a pastor who's trying to reach children in their community and then be able to build on that with something like the Greatest Journey and that sort of thing. So that was probably one of the biggest learning moments for me, is the kids, yeah, that was obvious, and we expected that, and saw even more than we expected. But to hear that from the pastors repeatedly of the impact that has for them, just because we're back here packing some simple shoebox gifts, is just a huge part of it as well. So I wanted to make sure I shared that. So as I close things out, just a couple of final things I'll mention to you. So the need I mentioned is still great, so keep packing those boxes. That's a huge part. Without those boxes, we can't do any of this. That's where it all starts. If you're interested in getting more involved, so obviously some of the easier or more obvious ones, packing a box, praying for a box, even sponsoring a box. Maybe you don't have time to go out and shop, or you can't be here to pack boxes, but we need the shipping cost, so maybe you can donate for that. There are also year-round volunteer opportunities that I'd be glad to talk to you about, too, if you're so interested and feel called in that direction. So plenty of ways to get involved. The last thing I want to share is just another verse out of the book of Ephesians, and I think it's a fairly well-known verse, but it's Ephesians 3, verse 20. And we've kind of latched on to this verse for the ministry as well. You'll hear a lot of folks in OCC refer back to this one. But it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And that immeasurably more peace, and that's what I want to leave you with, is that you may feel like you're just packing a shoebox or buying stuff for a shoebox, picking up a stuffed animal at the dollar store, but God can do immeasurably more with those boxes if we just give him the opportunity to do that. And if we just pack those boxes and leave the rest to him, he can do great things with these and reach children for Christ. So again, thank you for letting me be here this morning and talk with you, and thank you for your support of this ministry and for packing those boxes, because they really are doing amazing things, and all the glory goes to God. So thank you.
Well, folks, we've been doing this, as I said earlier, a long time, but it's rare that we get a chance to get this up close and personal with the actual campaign, and we get to see where these shoeboxes go and how they're distributed. Pam, thanks for making it real for us. We are grateful, and that helps us out too. You know, this is such a big thing for the Covell Community Church. We look at the various mission outreach and programs that we have, and the various things that we can do, but how impactful can this be to go and to share the gospel message in lands and areas where they don't get to see it? And if you think about this, and if you were as moved as I was based on our Mission Sunday program today, you realize just how much of a hand we have in the ministry of getting God's word out to others. It is officially here now, and we are grateful. So with that being said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to work on this. Last year, we did 201 boxes. As Melinda said, this year, we're going to also do 201 boxes. The simple reason is we just can't do any more unless God wants us to do more. So with that being said, Melinda, I want to talk to you because, Pam, you've inspired me to. I'm a marketing mind. This is what I have to do in my secular job every single day. And so now that means I have to go talk to Melinda and talk marketing with her. So there you go. But I appreciate it, and thank you for all that you do. And again, thanks for taking the time out of your church schedule. We know that you have your church home, and we know that's difficult to pull someone away from their own church family. Thanks for becoming part of our family today. We are grateful. Great job. Thank you. And with that said, let's stand and sing our last song. How do we conquer fear? We conquer it with faith. That's how we do it. And God gives us that faith, and we are grateful for it. So praise God today. He has given us a great day to go out, and we've worshiped now, but we will continue to worship throughout this week. And remember, this worship is never, never insulated to the walls of this church. It extends to every single person we meet and see in every place that we go. Let us be Jesus. Let us show others Jesus, and let us live and love like Jesus in all that we say and do. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, on this Mission Sunday, thank you for reminding us that we're not on this earth for ourselves, that we live for others, that we love others, that we are called to give to others just like Jesus has done. And so I pray today that you would empower us to use the talents and the gifts, the abilities, the resources that we have to go out and to impact the lives of others. Thank you for this program that has been established by Franklin Graham. Thank you for the wonderful time and efforts that have been put in by people like Pam and Melinda who dedicate their time to this task. And I pray today that we as the Covell Community Church congregation will get on board and support this cause to the best of our ability. We thank you for this day and all that you've given us. Help us now, I pray, to go out and emulate Jesus in all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.